I Faith on 2 Peter, the first of two. It's a Sunday this evening in Israel. We had church today in the Garden of Gethsemane. I love that, having a communion service followed by a time of private prayer. It's been an amazing tour, the 2018 tour to Israel. So, what about 2 Peter? Like 1 Peter, it has a theme. 1 Peter has the theme of suffering. 2 Peter has the theme of knowledge, the importance of our growing in knowledge. And don't try to write this down, but I'm going to tell you the verses in 2 Peter that encourage us to grow in knowledge. Okay, chapter 1, verses 2, 3, 5, 6, 8, 12, 14, and 16. Chapter 2, verses 9, 20, 21, and also chapter 3, verse 18. So for a letter that's relatively short, have so much. I mean, that's just the times the word knowledge appears, but there's much more. And Peter is telling us that we must continue to grow in knowledge, or else we will stagnate. We won't do well. But if we hold to true knowledge, we'll be close to God, we'll be more stable. To fail to do so is to risk being misled by false teachers. I'd like to give you a working outline for this letter before we focus on our theme. And today's sermon is entitled simply Growing in Knowledge. So chapter 1, grace and growth come through knowing God, the knowledge of God. Chapter 2. Twisted gospels, twisted lives characterize the false teachers, the ones who would corrupt the knowledge, the ones who would take us away from the knowledge of God. Twisted gospels, twisted lives. Chapter 3, fear God and further our knowledge of Him, and we will never fall away from the truth. I'd like to read from early in 2 Peter, and that's starting in verse 3 of chapter 1. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Let's just pause right there. It's not just head knowledge, academic knowledge of the Bible. It's a God knowledge, knowledge of God. They aren't the same thing. And Peter's hope is that his people will grow, that they will be partakers of the divine nature and grow. He says in the next verse, verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue and virtue with knowledge. Now, if you know the passage, he continues. He mentions a number of ways we can grow. But it's not enough just to believe. We need to have virtue. That is goodness, but goodness is too weak a word, I think. Virtue is about strength, spiritual strength, to do the right thing. But even that is not enough. We must grow in knowledge or we are at risk. Going ahead to verse 12. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. So Peter wants to remind the people of the importance of spiritual growth. But he says that you know these things. So we have words like remind, know, reminder, know, again, recall. So it has to do with our mind and remembering. As Peter is aware, he's soon going to die. And there's an early, second century tradition, he dies by crucifixion upside down. Peter and Paul were both killed in Rome. I think that's probably historically fairly certain. But he writes this letter sometime before his death, obviously. This is in the time of Nero. Nero had been persecuting Christians from 64 until he died in 68. So it's somewhere in that time frame. And so, because he won't be there, he wants people to remember. Now remember, when Peter writes this letter, a lot of the New Testament still wasn't written. Many of the letters, most of the letters are written, and maybe one or two Gospels. Probably the Gospel of Mark, which is really the Gospel according to Peter, because Mark and Peter were together. More about that, I think, in our next lesson. But he's going to die, and the Lord's made that clear, and so he wants people to remember. In the following verses, which we won't look at, he emphasizes that true Christian knowledge is not silly, it's not illogical, it's not myth. And the prophets who gave us the knowledge of God were not deceived, nor were they deceiving us. But among Christians, in chapter 2, he says, there will be false teachers. The false teachers will be characterized by two things. And by the way, you can find the same pattern in the Old Testament false teachers. Just a moment, let me explain. So in the Old Testament, we have the true prophets, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and so forth. But there are far more false prophets. Most of them are not named, but I could name a number of them. But they greatly outnumber the true prophets. And Peter says it's going to be the same in church history. In the generations that come, there will be false teachers. John gives the same warning, 1 John 4:1. I mean, Jesus gives the warning. It's all over the place. So these false teachers are characterized first by pleasure seeking. It's all about, life is about pleasure, buzz, fun, doing what they want to do. Of course, to live that kind of life, you have to ignore the rules. You have to probably just ignore authority. So the second characteristic is they reject authority. They don't like authority. Now, they don't want to be under authority, certainly not under God's authority. So those are the characteristics of false teachers. They want pleasure. It's all about pleasure. And, you know, he talks about sexual and other pleasures, drunkenness and so forth. And they reject authority. And then in the beginning of chapter 3, he goes back to the notion of reminding us, because we forget. Oh, come on, you're like me, you forget things all the time. It's one thing to forget where you put your car keys or where you put your shoes or you took your shoes off, right? But if we forget God, if we forget to imitate Christ when times are hard, that's not good. He encourages us later to carefully read the scripture. That's 3:14-16. So last part we're going to read is the final two verses. That is 2 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Let's break this down a little bit and let me read it again too. Because the way Peter writes this letter, there are a lot of complications, a lot of special words. He says, knowing this beforehand. Now that's knowing that false teachers will rise up. He says, take care that we're not carried away from the error of these lawless people. Now, you could say they are a law for themselves, a law unto themselves. And take care not to lose your own stability. If we're anchored in God's word, we have a stability. We won't be so easily shaken. But grow, Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not just growing in grace, receiving it and giving it and trying to live that way, but grow in knowledge of God. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. There's no way that we can seriously pursue the knowledge of God, to know his word, if we do it the right way. There's no way that's going to just bring glory to us. It brings glory to him. Well, let me just make a few points of practical application, all right? One is that it takes humility to keep growing, not to think that we've arrived somehow. You know, although Peter was trusted by Christ, he was a prince of the apostles. He was in Jesus' confidence and inner circle. He was the spokesman for the company of believers. He was a miracle worker, an elder, a martyr, so much more. Peter never allowed prominence to go to his head. He wasn't a bully. He kept the common touch in his leadership style. And he's humble. Have I mentioned this before? Peter's interpreter, according to Papias is an early second century leader, Papio says that Mark came with Peter. Mark was Peter's interpreter. And Mark's gospel is basically, the gospel as Peter explained it, and then Mark puts it together in a way that is easy for people to follow. Well, you'll notice in Mark, Peter doesn't look so smart, so excellent. He's forgetful. He needs to be reminded. He says bad things. The apostles look a little bit better in Matthew, actually. But in Mark, the apostles, and especially Peter, they're just there with all their flaws, all their flaws, all their mistakes. But if Mark was Peter's man, Peter must have okayed this. Peter said, yeah, tell him. He doesn't try to whitewash it. He's not trying to make himself look better than he is. He's humble. I think the apostles were greater men than we realize. And there's tremendous humility. And when there's humility, then there can be growth. How about you and me? Are we continuing to grow in knowledge? Maybe you're traveling like me. I'm in another country. Do you still study your Bible on such days? Do we still try to share what we're learning with others? I spend a couple hours a day trying to just share what I'm learning with a Jewish guy, trying to explain to him what we see as Christians, how I experience God. And I'm trying to help him to learn and grow. Just as I've been helped by others, others need help. They need our knowledge. See, it's not just something we put in our head. It's something we're supposed to put in our head and our heart, and we want to share this with others. So are we just doing the minimum in our Bible study? Are you taking advantage, this is a great question, of opportunities to learn, to mature? For example, the church where I am, there are all kinds of opportunities to learn and grow. In my country, there are all kinds of conferences that could help me. There are websites. People are constantly sending me, check out this podcast, check out this website. You know, I try to do that. I find some really good stuff. We need to look for opportunities, not just to study and pray a few minutes a day. Hey, today I prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. I prayed from the Psalms, and it was good. Can't always be in the Garden of Gethsemane, can you? So we're going to have to make some effort, make a decision. Being confused, as Peter explains, about the truth, if we're confused about God's truth, that puts us into a very dangerous place spiritually. So it's not enough just to say, well, I believe, and that's enough. We've got to grow. We have to add to our faith virtue, and to our virtue knowledge. Because growing in knowledge fortifies us against error and worldliness. It helps us to think more clearly, and it makes us more faithful, not to go along with the world, but faithful to God. We're going to talk more about spiritual growth in our next message from 2 Peter. Until then, thank you for listening. Shalom Aleichem. Great to have you.